Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, The Killing of the Demon Naraka. And we're starting with text number 43. So we'll read this together, and then the last two verses there's no purport, so I'll just read those. Griheshu sattasam anapachataka krin. Riheshu tasan anapaccha karta krin. Nirasta samyati sayeshu avastitaha. Nirasta samyati sayeshu avastitaha. Remen ramabir nija kama sampluto. Reme ramabir nija kama sampluto. Yate taro garhaka medikams charan. Yate tara garhaka medikams charan. Griheshu te shamana pacha tarka krin. Nirasta samyati sayeshu avastitaha. Reme ramabir nija kama sampluto. Nate taro gar hakamedi kams charan. Rihe shuba ta samana pacha tarka krin. Nirasta samyatika yeshu avastitaha. Vime ramabir nija kama sampluto. Yate taro gar hakamedi kams charan. Jesus. aromatizes. Griheshu, in the residences, tasam, there, anapachi, never leaving, atarka, inconceivable, krit, performing deeds, nirasta, which refuted. Samya, equally. Atishayesu, and superiority. Avastitaha, remaining. Veme, he enjoyed. Ramabihi, with the pleasing women. Nija, his own. Kama, in the pleasure. Samplutaha, absorbed. Yata, as. Itaraha, any other man. Garhaka Medikan, the duties of a household life. Charan, carrying out. Translation. The Lord, performer of the inconceivable, constantly remained in each of his queen's palaces, which were unequalled and unexcelled by any other residence. There, although fully satisfied within himself, he enjoyed with his pleasing wives, and like an ordinary husband, he carried out his household duties. In response, please. The Lord, performer of the inconceivable, constantly remained in each of his queen's palaces, which were unequalled and unexcelled by any other residence. There, although fully satisfied within himself, he enjoyed with his pleasing wives, and like an ordinary husband, he carried out his household duties. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word ataka krit is significant here. Taka means logic, and ataka means that which is beyond logic. The Lord can perform krit, that which is beyond mundane logic, and hence inconceivable. Still, the Lord's activities can be appreciated and understood to a significant extent by those who surrender unto Him. This is the secret of bhakti, loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that the Lord was always at home, except for when He had to go out to do ordinary household duties. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that since in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayan enjoys with only one goddess of fortune, and in Dwarka, Krishna enjoys with thousands of queens, Dwarka must be considered superior to Vaikuntha. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has also quotes the following passage from Skanda Purana. Sodai seva sahasrani gopyas tatra samagataha hamsa eva matak krishna paramatma janardana tashetak saktayo devi sodasaiva pakirtitaha chandra rupi matak krishna kala rupas tutak smitaha sampurna mandala tasam malini sodasi kala sodasaiva kala yashu gopi rupa varangane ekeka sas tahak sambinaha sahasrena pritak pritak. At that place, 16,000 gopis were assembled with Krishna, who is considered the supreme, the supersoul, the shelter of all living beings. These gopis are his renowned 16 potencies. O goddess, Krishna is like the moon, and the gopis are like its phases, and the full contingent of gopis is like the full sequence of the moon's 16 phases. Each of these 16 divisions of gopis, my dear Varangana, is divided into 1,000 parts. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further quotes the Kartika Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana. Kaishor Gopa Kanyasta Yovane Raja Kanyakaha. Those who were the daughters of the cowherds in their early youth became royal princesses in their maturity. The Acharya adds, therefore, just as the Lord of Dwarka is a plenary expansion of the supremely complete Lord of Vrindavan, so his principal queens are full expansions of his supremely complete pleasure potencies, the gopis. Text 44. Itam Rama Patim Avapya Patim Sriyasta Rama Dayopi Navidup Padavim Yadiyam Bejur Madaviratam Adyatayan Uraga Asavaloka Navasam Game Jalpalajaha. Thus those women obtained as their husband the husband of the goddess of fortune, although even great demigods like Brahma do not know how to approach him. With ever increasing pleasure they experience loving interactions with him, for him, exchange smiling glances with him, and reciprocate with him in ever fresh intimacy, replete with joking and feminine shyness. Prajudgamasana varahana padasocha tambula vishramana vajjana gandamalyai Kesha Pasara Sayana Snapana Paharyai Dasi Satchata Api Vibhor Vidadu Smadasyam. Although the Supreme Lord queens each had hundreds of maid servants, they chose to personally serve the Lord by approaching him humbly, offering him a seat, worshipping him with excellent paraphernalia, bathing and massaging his feet, giving him pan to chew, fanning him, anointing him with fragrant sandalwood paste, adorning him with flower garlands, dressing his hair, arranging his bed, bathing him, and presenting him with various gifts. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 59th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Killing of the Demon Naraka. Om Aganti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sargajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vithakanvitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Nusate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Vasadi Gaudavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So in the Vedic literature it says Natasya Karam Karanam Chavidyate Natasya Matam Charikas Chavidyate Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Suryate Svabhikijana Balakriyacha. So this is explaining the position of the Supreme Lord. That is beyond anybody's ability to supersede him. Natasya Karam Karanam Chavidyate. And then the second line is explaining that nobody can supersede him, nor can they even equal the Lord. Why? Because Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Suryate. They're all, he's got multifarious energies, unlimited energies, and they're all performing so many activities just automatically. It's called Satya Sankalpa. Satya Sankalpa means that just by thinking and desiring or willing, then so many things are taking place. So who can say that that's happening? Nobody. We may be, if we try to do that, what do they call us? What's the name they give us if we try to do that? Many names probably, but one in particular. A dreamer. It's called the mode of ignorance. We think just by dreaming things will happen. No, we're in the material world. There has to be big effort. But the Lord, he's transcendental to all this effort. Who would like to be transcendental to all effort, to all hard work? Maybe we have a lot of intellectuals here, but still, mental hard work is just as bad. I went to the doctors yesterday in Maulan Azad Road. What do you call it? What's the bazaar there? Null Bazaar. And there's many places where they deal with metal. And they call them coolies, people who do hard work. And they have these big barrows from here to maybe beyond the end of this particular seat. And they've got this stacked up with metal bars. And they've got it round their head onto the thing and they pull in. Very difficult. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Puffing. Very hard, saliva at the mouth. And then eventually, mrityu, death. So this is material life. But Krishna's transcendental to material life. All his activities are automatically performed. Here we see that Krishna's performing automatic. Well, not so automatic. He's there as well. We're talking about automatically in the material world. But he's personally there in the spiritual world. He's present. And he's fully conscious of the desires of all his devotees and he's reciprocating just according to that devotee's particular desire. That's the nature of the spiritual world. Everybody is unique. Even though we may see people who look similar, Nobody's exactly the same. It's amazing. They're unlimited living entities, and not one is, what they call it, is a match for another one. They're all mismatches. And so look at the potency of Krishna. What to speak of 16,108 queens, people think, my God, how does he do it? But no, every living entity in creation he's reciprocating with. So this is understanding Krishna. We have to accept the transcendental nature of the Lord. If we don't accept the transcendental nature of the Lord, then we cannot make progress in any spiritual, in devotional service. We may be able to make some superficial progress in the other processes. Come to the point of maybe, if we're very, 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 very fortunate, of liberation. Secondary liberation. But we have to understand Krishna's transcendental nature to really make progress. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yovati tatvata chakvadeyam punar janma naiti mamiti. So Arjuna, one who understands the nature of Krishna's appearance and activities, in other words, understand that he's not an ordinary person, he's transcendental to this material world, then he can actually attain to the supreme abode. Why don't people accept that? I mean, everywhere I go in India, there's Krishna written everywhere. Krishna and co. Krishna artifacts, Krishna this, Krishna that. Different names of the Lord. It's part of the culture. But still, how many people? Manushyanam saharshishu, kashchit yatadisidaye. Out of many thousands among men, hardly one knows Krishna. What is the answer? I'll give you a clue. What is the greatest sin? What is the greatest sin? There's so many we can't choose. It's the thing with this body. False ego. That's the biggest sin. Because as soon as we think with this body, we're finished. Prabhupada, when he was leaving this world, he was preaching all the way through his life in his books the same message. We are not this body. And just before he left this world, he said, we are not this body. Don't think this won't happen to you. So that's the biggest sin. Because when we think with the body, what happens? All our calculations are wrong. All our calculations are completely, we have no chance of getting any calculation right. So this is why we cannot understand these pastimes, or people in general cannot understand the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. So, so material logic, it's not very helpful in devotional life. People are using material logic in so many ways in the material world. It works. It works to some degree anyway. But when we try to understand Krishna, it's a completely different situation. Why? Attack Sri Krishna Namadi, Namavet Graham Indriya. Attack Sri Krishna Namadi, Namavet Graham Indriya. That Krishna cannot be understood by these gross senses. Why? Because the senses are covered by this false ego. When we think, when we're on the platform of false ego, it means material body. When we're on the platform of spiritual ego, it means spiritual body. And therefore the senses become covered. And when the senses are covered, it's very difficult to perceive what is actually reality. We see so many things and it's not actually what it is. Has anybody had that experience in life, even materially? We see something and we think it's one thing, and then we, after some time, we realise it's a completely different thing. Has anybody heard of Gestalt? Gestalt. I don't know whether it was an artist or what, but there's a type of art, they call it Gestalt. Maybe as soon as I explain it, you'll understand. There's a picture of an old woman, and then somebody at the side will say, no, it's a young woman. What are you talking about? I mean, anybody can see it's an old woman. No, it's a young woman. Just look, there's the plume from a hat, and then you look from his viewpoint, oh yeah, it's a human one. Has anybody seen that? So this is the material world. It's Maya, that which is not. It appears to be something, and it's completely different. So material logic has no foundation in trying to understand Krishna. Show me God, people will say. But what is it? Prabhupada would say, what's the eyes to see God? I'll give you the eyes to see God. You do what I say. So, attack Sri Krishna Namadi. And we have examples in the Krishna's pastimes of how even great personalities, they become bewildered by the energy of the Supreme Lord and they can't understand Krishna. What about Lord Brahma? We can't go much higher than Lord Brahma in this universe. He's the epitome of all intelligence. I think he's said to have a body of intelligence. I don't know how that is possible. So we can't even understand Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma can't even understand Krishna. So what chance do we have? Lord Brahma, he was watching, when Kamsa, he was creating a reign of terror on the inhabitants of Gokul and Mathura, Vrindavan, that area. And he was specifically trying to find out Krishna and destroy him. And so one day he dispatched one huge snake, Agasura. He says that his top lip touched the clouds and his bottom lip was on the ground, and he laid on the road. And the coward boys came along and they were thinking, what is this strange thing? It looks like a serpent. Anyway, they thought, anyway, Krishna will protect us. We don't have to worry about this. And of course, they went into the mouth of the snake. And the snake was watching. And it waited for Krishna. Krishna came along. And then he thought, I have to get my friends out of this difficult situation. But as soon as Krishna went into the body of the snake, immediately the jaws came. Has anybody been to Mira Road Hospital? They have these cartoons on. This is one of them. And so anyway, Krishna quite easily came out of the head of the snake, and the snake was completely destroyed. And all the demigods come at that time, and they were raining flowers on the Supreme Lord. And Brahma was there also, and he was thinking, I can't believe it. How can he be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What's this particular symptom which we all have to be very careful of in devotional life? It's described at the end of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Transcendental knowledge. What's transcendental knowledge curing? It's curing our doubt. Tasmata gyan sambhutam ritstanam gyanishatmana chitvenam shamshayam yogam atishto atishtavarat. Krishna's telling Arjuna, get rid of this doubt, and with knowledge stand and fight. Prabhupada was very, very strong on doubt. And any doubt, we hear many lectures where a devotee shows doubt, and he didn't treat it lightly. He used to speak to the devotee, and he used to corner the devotee, and make him see from the proper point of view. And when the devotee submitted, then he would let him go. Prabhupada didn't let him sort of be in a twilight world as far as the philosophy went. So I say, Madhusudan, killer of Madhu, the killer of doubt. So devotees have to become free from this doubt. But just to set the example, the Supreme Lord Prabhupada, when his topmost devotees, Lord Brahma, in a situation where he was doubtful about the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is anybody doubtful about the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Put your hands up. Now, there may be some doubt there. There may be some doubt there. But anyway, Lord Brahma, he became doubtful. He said, how can this young boy, five years old, you know, then what made him more doubtful is, you know, he was going to let it go, okay. You know, we'll accept it. This is the nature of a devotee. Not to challenge too much. But in Bhagavad Gita, it says that we should at least literally accept Bhagavad Gita as it is, as being true. And then from that standpoint, we can inquire. This makes it positive inquiry. Yeah? We gradually make progress. If we don't do that, it's usually a challenging experience. So then Brahma said, okay, you know, these things happen. And then a little later, he noticed that Krishna went with his friends, and they went and sat down in the forest and started eating, just like little school children, eating prasadam. And then he became doubtful again. And then he saw that Krishna was eating with his left hand. And he said, this is too much, this is not Vedic custom. And so he decided, I'm going to test this little boy. I'll show him my prowess. And so, of course, Lord Brahma, his first illusion, it was superseded by another one. Immediately, he went and he started creating a little bit of situation where the cows and the calves started to roam into the forest. And then, so Krishna is omniscient, he knew what was happening. And he stopped his friends from going into the forest to protect them. He said, you carry on with your prasadam, in a few seconds I'll be back with the cows. You just carry on enjoying. And so Brahma came and immediately took all the cowherd boys and he took them back to Ramaloka, put them in a cave. And so this was his first mistake. Actually, he never stole the cowherd boys. This Krishna, understanding the situation, immediately replaced those cowherd boys with Maya cowherd boys. So Brahma was fooled again. He took the Maya boys, put them in the cave. Then Krishna put the real cowherd boys and they were playing some pastime somewhere else. But when he came back, Krishna also created some more cowherd boys. And when Lord Brahma saw these, and he went back to the cave, yeah, they're still there. And then he went back to have a look, they're still there. And he couldn't work out what was happening. And his head started to spin. Then all of a sudden, Vishnu Murtis came out of all these different cowherd boys. And, you know, this became too much. He was just about to pass out. And then the whole situation changed. It came Vrindavan again. And then he realized, actually, that I've made a big mistake. And, of course, he started offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was just sat taking some prasadam with... Says yogurt was running from between his fingers, and he laid flat on the ground playing his prostrate obeisances. And we hear those prayers of Lord Brahma in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Beautiful prayers, very very nice, very elaborate and full of philosophy. And he was glorifying the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna was bewildering him again, and he was looking at him to say, "What are you talking about? I'm just a coward boy." He's got a smile on his face, Krishna, and he was looking a little bit blank at Lord Brahma. You see, you know, he was actually mocking him because he thought he was a coward boy. I'm just a coward boy playing with my... Why are you using all these words? Actually, he wasn't interested in what Lord Brahma had got to say. He was only interested in getting back to play with his friends. And so... So by seeing we can't understand Krishna. By sight, this is the example of... Another example of how we cannot see Krishna. When Putana, I think she was the second of the demons who came to kill Krishna. Eventually when she picked Krishna up, or she looked at Krishna in the cot, Krishna was looking at Putana, and then he closed his eyes. And Putana understood that there's something unusual here about this. He seems a very powerful personality, but externally, he just looked like a little boy. But she was thinking, who can harm me? I'm so powerful. And so this was the end of Putana. So she was seen but not seen. We give the example of in the material world, how we see but we don't see. There's another example, actually. Let's have a look. Yes, so the next point is that How do we actually see in spiritual life? We say, sometimes somebody will tell us something, what do we say? Oh, I see. So our process is the hearing process. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, a very important section of the Bhagavatam, starting from verse 16 up to verse 21, it explains the whole process of devotional service. It says, first of all, service. The first duty of a devotee is to engage somebody in service, give them prasad, give them some sweet work, make them favourable towards Krishna consciousness. So it's explained that indirectly then we serve in Prabhupada. So Bhagavatam says that we can actually see gradually understanding this knowledge. It says, Shushusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katarushi Shyanmahatseva Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. That if we serve those devotees who are free from material attachment, who are pure, then that's the best service. And by serving, then one gets an affinity for hearing about the Supreme Lord. And then by hearing about Krishna, one can gradually become purified. It's just like in the Bhagavad Gita, it explains that the mirror of the heart or the mirror of the mind is covered. How come we can't even see ourselves? We can't see anything. We just see, what happens to a mirror if it's left for months and months and months, or years and years and years, or lifetime after lifetime? It just be a thick coat of dust. We look in the mirror, what do we see? We see dust. In other words, the material anattas. So seeing in the material world means we're seeing material anattas in ourselves, well, not so much in ourselves in the material concept, but in others. And so this is why we misunderstand Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes just seem like fairy tales. But by hearing, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Vidyantaksto Hebadrani, Vidunati Saritsatam. If we keep hearing Krishna's pastimes, it says if we're serious, then Krishna from within the heart will purify the mirror of the mind. Mirror of the mind is described as lust in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And it's this lust to try and enjoy this material world which is causing so many problems. And Srila Prabhupada explains in that particular purport that the epitome of material lust is the attraction between male and female. And he said, this is very disturbing for anybody on the path of spiritual life. He says, but if we're actually attentive to hearing from the proper source, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, then Vidunoti Sarit Abhadrani. Abhadrani means all the inauspicious things. Vidunoti Saritsatam. Then they're purified. And even great sages on the path of devotional path, have become, what they say, they've become victims of this lust. Was it one became, was it Vishvamitra? Maneka, he was in meditation and just by the chinking of her ankle bells, he fell down. So Bari Muni, you know, can you believe it? He went in the water out of the way. That's where the sages go. They either go in the mountains where nobody is or in the water so they don't get disturbed. He just opened his eyes and there was two fish copulating, and he was finished. So it's very difficult to overcome this lust, this strong attraction. He says, but if we hear, just by this one process of hearing, Prabhupada writes at the end of that purport, he says, one can be freed from material lust for good. One, the devotee is no longer disturbed. So this is how we see. This is how we can come to see Krishna's pastimes. But Nasta Priyeshu Abhadreshu. It has to be done on a regular basis. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Bhaktir Bhavati Naisaki. Then almost everything is cleansed from the heart. We still have a material body, so it's not possible to become completely pure. When do we become completely pure? Would anybody like to know? When is the completely purified stage? He says that there's some remnants of anattas right up to the stage, even in prema. He says, well, once we get Krishna's association, then everything's purified. And what's the thing that is left to be purified? Anyway, we don't have to go that way too much. Maybe we're going off track a little bit. Yes, so does anybody find that there's still some residue in the heart? Or is it all, or is it, anybody got completely free from it yet? Put your hands up. Nobody. What's happening? Does this process work? I'll give you, shall I tell you a story? About how the bad habits still linger. So we're not on our own, don't worry. I was once at an airport in Azerbaijan. It's a Middle Eastern country. It's a Muslim country. Anyway, that's nothing to do with the story, but I thought I'd let you know. I went to the departure lounge, and in the departure lounge they had these big screens. And they were, you know, so that it would entertain people who were waiting to catch their plane. And I noticed on this screen there was a Charlie Chaplin movie. And I sat down and I thought, well, I've got an hour to wait yet. I thought, I shouldn't watch this. It's Mrs. What is it? It's Maya. And I thought, I'll read the Bhagavad Gita instead. I'll be a staunch. So I picked up the Bhagavad Gita. And every so often I just look at this movie. You know what I mean? And then eventually I managed to get by that. And then we got on the plane. And then for some reason, they don't make any announcement in that part of the world. The plane was going down the runway full pelt. Then all of a sudden it came to a quick halt. And then for no announcements, we went back to the departure lounge and we all unloaded. And anyway, then I noticed this Charlie Chaplin movie was still on. And I was thinking, well, this must be Krishna's mercy. This must be Krishna's arrangement. Then I realised that actually Prabhupada used to watch Charlie Chaplin. Is that right? And he got a lot of realisation. So I thought, there's no problem. This is parampara. And so I actually started watching this Charlie Chaplin movie, and it was New Year's Eve. Now in the West on New Year's Eve, it's a very much of a time for celebration, just like they celebrate at Diwali here in India. And he was walking down the road, and of course, if anybody knows any of the Charlie Chaplin movies, he's always destitute. You know, he's got a bowler hat, a coat and tails, a cane, but he's not very well off. You know, he's always begging and trying to get this from there and queuing. These movies were made in the Depression in the United States, so he's. And as he's walking down the road, it's evening's coming, and all of a sudden from this bar rolls out this drunk, and he bumps into Charlie Chaplin. They both go into the gutter, laid on the floor. And so the drunk gets up and starts rushing Charlie Chaplin down. So, you know, you can see it's a silent movie, but you can see by the expressions he's saying sorry. And Charlie Chaplin's saying, no, it's okay, don't worry. And then this person, he invites Charlie Chaplin on the town. You know what I mean by that? He invites him out for the night. Let's go out together and enjoy bringing in the new year. That means drinking. And so Charlie pulls his pockets out and says, I've got no money. Don't worry, it's on me. And so they both. And then he shows you all the escapades they get into these different bars. And by the end of the night, they're completely paralytic. That means they've got no intelligence. They've had so much to drink. And so they drive back to this person's home. And as it happens, this person is a multi-millionaire. They drive to this big mansion in this huge car. And he takes rest for the night, and the person who owns the place takes rest. And then he wakes up in the morning, and he realises that actually I could use this situation for my benefit. I have an errand to run. Maybe I could use the rich person's car. And so he shouts the butler, and the butler reluctantly goes to the owner and he says, this person wants to borrow your car. He says, oh, let him take it. So he gives him the keys. By now, Charlie Chaplin's all dressed up. in, you know, he's not in the old-fashioned gear. He's in, he looks really the part. What do they call it? A toff. Anybody know what a toff is? It's a gentleman. They use this word in England. A toff. Perfect gentleman. Not a perfect gentleman, but... And so he gets in the car with the keys. It's a huge Rolls Royce. And he's driving down the road early in the morning, on New Year's morning. And everybody's looking, wow, look at that. Look at that toff. What a perfect gentleman. So rich. So aristocratic. He looks just the part. And so Charlie Chaplin's really enjoying this. And then from the corner of his eye, he sees somebody walking down the road. And he's smoking. And then he looks at the cigarette. It's halfway down. And he throws it down in a gutter. And Charlie Chaplin, he puts the handbrake on. And he jumps out of the car and goes running towards this cigarette. And just as he's about to pick the cigarette up, this other tramp comes up. And he's just going to get the cigarette. So Charlie Chaplin kicks him out of the way. And he picks up his cigarette and he starts smoking it. And this tramp is thinking, what's going on here? He's a multimillionaire. Just look at him. He's just robbed me of a cigarette. I haven't got two pennies to put together. So what happened there? What's the moral of the story? In devotional service, we put our Tilak on. Perfect Tilak, you know, perfect Dhoti and Kurta. You know, we have perfect manners when we come to the temple. Is that right? Yeah. Very nice devotee. We may look the part, but still there's something wrong inside, maybe. And every so often, it comes up. So this happened with Charlie Chaplin. Although he was so used to living the life of a tramp, he couldn't change immediately. And so devotees have to be aware of that, that in devotional service, one of the great benedictions that we can obtain is to, or one of the greatest attributes we can have is to be patient. Enthusiasm, confidence and patience. So we're getting the confidence from what we're hearing every day in Srimad Bhagavatam. We're becoming fixed in devotional service. And then Tadara Jastama Bhava. Kama Loba Dayastaya, Chete Ete Anavidim, Stita Sattva Prasiddhi. One becomes freed from these low modes of nature. Then Eva Prasanna Manaso, Bhagavat Bhakti Yogata, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, Mukta Sangasya Jayate. And then devotional service becomes enlivening. And then the last verse, Bidyate Ridaya Grantis, Kiyanti Sarva Samshaya. That one sees the self. It's mentioned that we see the Supreme Self, Krishna. Because when we see the Supreme Self, then we see... In other words, we're able to understand Krishna's pastimes by this simple process of hearing. This is the sum and substance of how to really understand what Bhagavatam is speaking about. Is there any evidences from Shastra to back this up, other than what we've just said? There's another evidence. When Lord Chaitanya, he had the association of, or should I say, Ramananda Roy had the association of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya had the association of Ramananda Roy also, but, and so he asked Ramananda Roy, he says, you're a learned person, tell me something, so tell me something about the process of devotional service, something important. And also, back your quotes up with Shastra. So Ramananda Roy was thinking, well, what do I know about? What can I speak to the Supreme Lord about? Then he thought, the Supreme Lord wants me to speak, so he said, if you give me the intelligence, I can speak something. And so Ramananda Roy began to speak about... what's the first thing he said? Atabum Bhad Vidashtrasa, Svana Shrama Vibhagasava, Svanusitasya Dharmasya, Samsidir Haritoshnam. So actually, if we want to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Haritoshnam, so then we should perform our duty according to our particular inclination in life, according to our caste division, order of life, according to our propensity. And then that pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then everything is possible. So, but Lord Chaitanya refused this. He says, no, this is external. He means it's a, you know, these activities we perform in our particular ashrams can be external, they're not necessarily connected to devotional service. That's a whole process. He says, speak more. So he spoke about how we should give everything to Krishna. Yat karoshi, yad asnasi, yad jidhasi, dadasi yat. Yat tapashyasi kuntya, mad kurushva, mad arpanam. All that you do, eat, offer, give away, all austerities that you perform, then do those for me. And still, Lord Chaitanya refused. That's also external. That may not be in the right consciousness. So then Ramananda Roy said, he gave the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. He said, no, that also may be without knowledge. And we see that. People can take to devotional service for some time and they seem to surrender everything. Well, then maybe they don't maintain their devotional service for some reason. So that means there's no conviction. They don't understand properly. When we understand properly, there's no way we'll give up the process of devotional service. So they may not be in complete knowledge. So Ramananda Roy got the message, yes, it's knowledge we're looking for. And so then he quoted, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. We should come to the spiritual platform. And then we can see, we're not seeing through material. Remember we spoke about this in the beginning. We have to have spiritual eyes. Come to the spiritual platform. And then we don't hanker or lament. Material life means we're hankering and lamenting. Oh, if I only had done that. Oh, if only I could do this. Has anybody noticed? Never in the present. Always hankering and lamenting. We come off that platform. And then, Lord Chaitanya refused that. He said, no, we still may not know about devotional service. But actually, this is a prerequisite for devotional service. Bhakti yamam abhigyanati yonyas chasmi tatvata tatva chatvato gyatva vishade tadanantram. If we perform devotional service and we're freed from the modes, then we can understand Krishna. But that's not enough. And then, so Ramananda Roy quoted a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and actually, this is after the same section where Lord Rama is praying after he'd been fooled by the Supreme Lord, after he'd been Brahma Vimoha Leela, after he'd been completely bewildered by the Supreme Lord, he offered prayers, and one of these prayers is what Ramananda Roy spoke. What is that prayer? Jane priyasam udapashyamanti eva jivanti sanma karitam baradiya vartman stane stitashya shruti gatim tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jita api trais trilokyam jane priyasam. Don't speculate. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma can be speculation if we're not careful, using our own intelligence. We shouldn't speculate. I can tell you a story about speculation. Shall I tell you a story about speculation? In England, they had a prison service. That means the Bhagavad Gita was distributed into prisons. But there was no facility to visit the prisoners at that time. They hadn't got that far yet. Just the Bhagavad Gita was going there. And so one prisoner, he got the Bhagavad Gita and he started reading it. He was really captivated by it. He thought, wow, I've never read anything like this in my life. And he read all the way through. And somehow, after some time, the devotees got permission to visit the prisoners. So they heard about this devotee who read through, prisoner, who read through the Bhagavad Gita, and said, so, what do you think of Bhagavad Gita? Fantastic, I've never read anything like it in my life. He said, so exhilarating. He says, what conclusion did you draw from the Bhagavad Gita? He says, well, I concluded that when I get out of prison, there's six people I have to kill immediately. And the devotee was completely shocked. And then what had he been reading? In the first chapter it says, there are six aggressors who can be immediately killed and there's no sin incurred. So it's important that, you know, We read in the Association of Devotees. So, Jnane Priyasam, don't speculate. Udapashina Manti Jivanti Sanma Karitambara Diyavatman. It means we should hear with the proper respect from proper bona fide sources. With an open heart. We shouldn't be closed minded. And then stay, we don't even have to move. Stay where you are. Whatever ashram, whatever situation in life, then stay in that situation and just hear. And then sthanesthitasya shrutigatim tanuvan manobir. Body, mind and words absorb ourselves according to what we're hearing. Absorb ourselves in service, absorb ourselves in hearing, absorb ourselves in speaking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's the last line? Ye prayaso jita jita apitrais trilokyam. He says, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead is understandable. He becomes subservient to our intelligence. And this is very, very unusual, because actually nobody can understand Krishna. Lord Brahma was even bewildered. He says, even the great sages, Trais Trilokyam, the material world is three different areas, lower planetary, middle planetary, higher planetary. He says nobody within the three worlds can understand Krishna, even the great rishis. But somebody who hears about Krishna regularly with proper attention and tries to understand Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself. Tesyam satata yuktanam bhajatam pridipurvakam. Dadadi buddhi yogam tam. Yena mam upayanti te. Even we may think, I'm not really spiritually inclined, I don't have much taste for reading all these different scriptures. But Krishna says, just hear anyway. Tach Srinu. Just hear anyway. And if we hear, even if the intelligence is not naturally there, Tesham Satsayutam Bhajitam Pidipurgavam. If there's a desire to try and understand me, this is actually devotion. He says, and I'll purify the heart from within. What's that verse after that one? Tasmata Gyan Sambhutam. No, that's the wrong one there. Tesham Nitya, go on. Evana Kampatam, Tamham Gyan, Tamha. Nasyam Atmami Bhavasto, Gyana Bhavisha Gyanaha. I forgot that one. So, that Krishna is like the, illuminates the heart, like when we're in a dark room, we strike a match and light a candle, and immediately we can see everything clearly. So, if we have the right attitude to trying to understand Krishna, this is all that really matters. Krishna's looking for our sincere desire. And then from within the heart, he'll destroy all this darkness which is keeping us from understanding our real position and that position in relationship to Krishna. And then we can understand these pastimes properly. If we read this pastime and somebody who has no devotional credits tries to read the pastime, will be completely the opposite or completely different understanding. So this is the what this particular verse is saying. There's also another part to it which I haven't dealt with. Just for a few minutes we may just try to say something. It's talking about how the the gopis became, the devakanyas became the queens of Dwarka, and there's more pleasure experienced by Krishna when he's reciprocating with many queens rather than just one, like Narayan does with Lakshmi. So this is the purpose of existence. The purpose of existence is pleasure. Krishna is already full of pleasure. He's Atmarama. But Eko Bahu Sham, he expands himself into many for his ever-increasing bliss. And so devotees of the Lord can be part of that ever-increasing bliss. And so by hearing this about the Supreme Lord, and the next thing is to speak about the Supreme Lord. It's incomplete just to hear. The completion is Atak Sri Krishna Namani Nabhavetkin Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivador Swayameva Spurachida Hi Jivador. The tongue has to be engaged also. We hear about Krishna and we speak about Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya said that Bhaji Krishna, what is it? He said, glorify Krishna, worship Krishna, and speak about Krishna wherever you go. So if we find that if we follow this process of hearing Shravanam Kirtanam and distributing this transcendental knowledge to others, then very quickly Krishna becomes revealed. And this is also explained in Bhagavad Gita that he's particularly attracted to those who are preachers. What's that verse? Can anybody remember? I can't remember at the moment. Yayadam paramam viyamad bhaktesh avidashti bhaktim paya maya pram vidpa mami vaishas asamshaya. And they're priyata, there's nobody more dear to me than he who preaches. So we can conclude this class now. There is a little bit to explain about the gopis, but this is it's beyond me anyway. There's different levels of gopis. There's four levels. There's Devakanya. These are the wives of the demigods who became gopis. There's the what's the next one? Shrutichari gopis. They're the personified Vedas. They're sadhana siddhas. They become gopis by their practice. The devakanyas are mixed. And then there's the gopakanyas. These are wives of the gopas, of the cowherd men. They're of different kinds. They're pure nitya siddha. They're eternally. So we see there's different levels of gopis. And there's also the rishichari gopis. They were the sages at Naimisharanya. Dandakaranya. And they wanted to have Lord Rama as their husband, but Lord Rama says, in this pastime, Ekapatni, only one wife. I'll give you an opportunity to take birth when I appear in my form as Lord Krishna. And so they became Gopakanyas in their next birth, and they got the opportunity to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by that association, they got the association of the Lord's very experienced gopis, nitya siddhas. And by that association, they were able to understand Krishna's pastimes, and they broke all attachment to the material world. Some of them didn't have the same desire, so this is where the husbands held them back. Even when they get to this advanced level, still we have to work. And so they felt so much remorse that they'd missed their opportunity that eventually that remorse burnt up any of their attachment to staying in the material world. And then they got another opportunity to meet with Krishna later. So we can see that devotional service is not a tea party. Has anybody heard of the word tea party? They have tea parties in this part of the world. In England they have a tea party where the local vicar. The local vicar is like the... Anyway, we'll not go into all that. But they have a tea party, and it's just like a chance to socialise and enjoy a cup of tea and some cucumber sandwiches and discuss a little bit about Shastra. So devotional service is not like that. It's hands-on. What we hear, we apply. What we hear, we apply. And if we apply what we hear, then we make progress. So it's a very scientific process. And in this way we can really enter into the subject matter of the 10th canto. Or understand the 10th canto. So we'll stop there. Not just the 10th canto, actually. Prabhupada, we shouldn't get too much into trying to understand the 10th canto. Prabhupada gave the process. He said, do as I do. And what did Prabhupada do? He was just working non-stop for Krishna right up to the last breath. So this is what a devotee's life is. We just absorb ourselves in Krishna's service. We don't need to extraneously try to understand the pastimes of the Lord. If we daily try to come to Bhagavatam class, Bhagavad Gita, we do some reading, we make inquiry, we engage ourselves very nicely or as much as possible in service, then Krishna is revealed to us. So we don't have to go anywhere. Stanya Stitasya, you're in the right place, whatever we're doing. Just here. Shkantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, if anybody wants to ask any questions, you're welcome, or make any comments. I saw the mic. Kantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.